The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. I have my associate, Dan DuBose, I believe, has already joined us. Dan, you out there?
Yes, good morning, Nathan.
Good morning to you. I hear you guys are in some hot weather there in the U.S. and in Texas.
Yeah, projected 104 today, somebody said.
That's crazy. I was talking to my business partner in San Antonio, and he said they've got 109 degrees projected for the next couple days, I guess it is. But
wow.
Anyway, that's some hot weather for all those air conditioners to work through.
Burning a lot of that electricity, aren't they?
Well, that's true. That's true. So we missed having you yesterday. You were taking care of, was it some GOP stuff, or was it a lower level of political?
Yeah, it was the Senate. Call it a Senate district meeting. It's a biennial meeting they have to elect officers for the Senate districts, you know, to
okay.
run the local operations of the
Republican Party.
Harris County, anyway.
Yeah, well, good for you. We need some level-headedness in that group. I don't even know who they are, but I know they need
it. We got some good ones out there. Believe me, we do it at the local level. I know we do it. Cindy Siegel, who happens to be a CPA as well, is just a dynamic personality, has led this, you know, the Harris County Republican Party so well. We even got cash in the bank. It's really hard to believe.
That can't be.
Doing really well.
Well, we're glad to have you back. Today, we've got a lot. We're probably not going to get finished. We may come back and revisit these two transactions a week from now. We've got two transactions that we want to discuss. We think both of them probably have merit. And, of course, both of these are transactions that you won't be able to invest in because they're already out there, unless you happen to be on the syndicator's list of either previous investors or you've inquired. And in that case, obviously, I suggest you'd want to go make sure to ask for the documents and take a look. We think both of these are within the bounds of what we would otherwise feel are reasonable in terms of the returns, in terms of the fees, etc. Let me just say real quick so we can get started to finish off the disclaimer that was not mentioned at the top. You heard part of one. Just because you hear this show today doesn't mean we're recommending either one of these syndications or lead partner sponsors, etc. We're looking at the math on these transactions and trying to help in part each of our listeners understand that, hey, this is what you look for. You may not understand it, or you may, you know, good for you if you do. The problem is it's such a moving target as we move from transaction to transaction. And these two are good proof of that. One of these is a transaction offered by the leading old school, I call it travel agent type investor platform that Self-Made Millionaire owns and operates. And as I've said before, you know, I like the platform for some reasons. This is one of them. The transactions they offer seem to be a steady stream of reasonable structures, the solid singles and doubles. If you were a baseball player, and occasionally you'll get a home run. And there's nothing, mom and pop, which is what most of these transactions, that's where they derive their management, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with mom and pop transactions that make money, and a lot of the transactions that platform make money. There's no question. My sole dispute typically with Self-Made Millionaire boils down to the bad tax advice that's dispensed, and it's said loud enough and often enough and from the front of the room or on the air where a lot of people fall for it, and it's just it's insanity. It's absolute insanity if you give away 30 to 40% of your family's net worth thinking that you have to invest in these transactions or to acquire the financial freedom that they dangle as a carrot, which I'm going to tell you right now, you can acquire a lot more financial freedom doing it under an optimal section of the tax code. And even if you want to pay tax, like they say, I would tell you, as you start looking at Roth conversions, which is something we talk about almost every show now, and we'll even weave that into this show. I talked about it yesterday. You would be better off, if you agree that you still want to get your money out, you'd be better off making a stop. If this were an airplane flight, do a multi-stop itinerary, Dan. You know, that'd be the trick. And make a stop while your funds are still in your retirement plan or your IRA, your self-directed 401, into multifamily investments, because then you can actually pay the tax that you would otherwise want to pay if you like paying tax or you listen to this advice as you relist those transactions over to your personal ownership, because you're going to get to value those transactions as private company investments. So even if you want to do what Self-Made Millionaire, I suggest very amateur tax advice, very expensive tax advice. Even if you want to do that, let's make it less expensive by getting you a discounted tax cost to get your money, quote, out of the retirement plan. And you can beat your chest even more if you do that than if you do it the way they recommend, which is, you know, tell the man, you know, that you're taking them out of the private partnership you've got with the government on your retirement plans by cashing them out. But in any event, we'll explain on these transactions why these might be a good one or not be a good one, as the case may be, for executing that strategy and get your cost way down. As an investor, if you don't already understand, if you're a new investor and a existing investor, you may not realize that taxes will be your most will be the highest expense that you're going to pay if you're successful in these transactions. So we want to do what we can to avoid that. In any event, as I was saying, just because you listen to the show, we're not your accountant. We're not selling investments. We don't promote investments per se. We try to tell you where to find some, and we're going to add, I've given you two syndicators' websites in the past. I'm going to add a third one today for you folks that are not in an old school investment platform. This syndicator, like the other two I've given you, doesn't charge you to learn about real estate, private partnership investment, or to actually invest. So if you want to learn how to get off the lifetime deferral treadmill of thinking you're going to do this later and access your family's retirement funds now, invest them in real estate private partnerships, and then let's work on getting you tax-free income for the rest of your life. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. Everybody's a little bit different in terms of what works to meet their objectives. But don't put off retirement for another 10 years. If you've already been thinking about it, let's talk. Yeah, let's chat about your facts and circumstances. And you can do that by going to the baplanner.com website. And top right corner, there's some a link for intake forms. And then there's also a schedule a call button or link. And you can connect with Dan and I. And let's try to see how we could sync up with getting you down the road here on the straight and narrow path to a very high level of financial freedom by using the right tax code. Well, Dan, I appreciate you speaking so much here in the first segment. I promise I'm going to get you into the discussion here when we come back. But let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show here on Sundays, KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose. And Dan, as we were heading out for the first break, I mentioned that we're going to talk about two transactions today, and I'm going to give you your choice. You want to talk about the one that you reviewed first, or you want me to start with the one that I looked at? Up to you.
Either one fine with me, Nathan. The one I looked at looks intriguing.
Well, let's talk about that one. And that one is a transaction up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chattanooga, for those of you that aren't aware, is definitely a happening place in terms of making many of the most desired cities to live in. And a lot of metrics pointing up for that area, and this transaction is, as I mentioned before the break, it is a 506B transaction, which, just to review very quickly, 506B transactions are offered to both non-accredited investors, those investors that have less than $1 million in liquid net worth, can't count your residents in there, and accredited, that was non-accredited. Accredited are those that have, well, accredited have more than a million. Non-accredited have less than a million. And the differences aren't just how much net worth you have, but it also impacts whether you can invest in certain transactions before or after the capital raise period has started, whether you knew about it or not. And there is some dispute amongst syndicators on that rule, but take it from the SEC. That's the rule. I'm happy to give you the latest ruling on that if you'd care to look at the no response or no action letter that the SEC issued on a request by a syndicator a number of years ago. But anyway, the key for us as we talk about these transactions, if it's a 506B, you know, I can talk about it. I can't, or I can tell you won't be able to invest in it. So, you know, there's no worries there. If it's a 506C transaction, however, that's still raising capital, that's one that if you're accredited, you could walk up late after the capital raise period has started, and you could still invest in it. And that's critical, but, you know, it also means you're as a syndicator, you're limited to those that have $1 million or more of net worth. But that said, since you can generally solicit and advertise, your reach can be broader than if you're simply relying on an investor pool that has either already invested with you or they've inquired and gone through some sort of let's get to know each other process where you understand whether or not they understand enough about this type of investment to participate. But in any event, these are both 506Bs. So, Dan, pick up from there. How many units is this property?
You broke up there. What did you ask?
Oh, I was asking how many units is this property in Chattanooga? Do you have that handy?
200 units.
200 units?
In 1974, rated as a Class C plus, they're saying in the private placement memorandum.
Okay.
Looks like a really nice property. It's on the east side of Tennessee, of Chattanooga. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with Chattanooga, but they do say it's in a good area as far as the college is concerned, the University of Chattanooga, I guess it is. Anyway, it's in a good area, yeah. It looks like.
Yeah. And this syndicator has some experience. He's done probably more in the single-family realm than multifamily, but he's got several deals under his belt. Looks like he's made money. One of the transactions he refers to, his second deal, it was a 67-unit property in western Tennessee here during COVID, and purchased it at $3.7 million. It's now worth $7.2 million. That's pretty impressive. I don't care what size it is, right?
Yeah.
So in any event, so on this specific deal, what are they thinking is the hold period, Dan? Did you pick up on that? That's something
yeah,
they want to look at.
They're looking at a projection, a 2 to 3 year hold. It's a value play, they're calling it.
Right.
It's we're getting around 78%, 72 to 78%, they say, after that 3 year, 2 to 3 year hold period. It's on the surface, it looks like a really sweet deal for an investor.
Well, I think it's got some positives. However, one thing I didn't discuss with you that I when we were talking about this briefly just before we came on is that there's something that is at play here that I'm not exactly sure how to explain it. And I would suggest if I were going to be investing in this one, which, of course, you can't if you're not already in the investor's database. But I know I've got clients looking at this that are in the investor's database that could move forward. And I would suggest something we want to look at is this property is being purchased from another member of Self-Made Millionaires Platform. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not a fan of that strategy because I tend to think that there's less meat on the bone when that happens for the new guy walking up. However, you can tell by looking at these pro forma returns, there's a lot of meat on this bone, right? I mean, Dan, I mean, it's pretty amazing. But what's not amazing is the current occupancy at 85%, I believe I saw. Market average in that area is 95. And what's a little bit puzzling is that the current owner is one of the top syndicators in the game, at least with regard to lifestyles. And, I mean, to the Self-Made Millionaire Platform But in any event, I'm not sure what's going on there. I'd like to find out. I'd like to speak to that gentleman at some point. I've met him in the past. He's a good guy, knows what he's doing. He lives in a different city, though, far away or further away, and that might be part of the issue. But that, as I was looking at this, I thought, man, this property sounds familiar. And then it dawned on me who the – and then I would think maybe I even read in the – slide deck for the webinar that it was the gentleman that I referred to, and he's a class act, and so, and he's staying in the deal, so that may be just an opportunity that arose. I've learned that when you're dealing with certain debt and financing strategies, that a lot of times the new guy walking up can get a better deal than the existing owner when you're talking about deferred maintenance. And I've forgotten how long ago it's been since the current owner bought it, but he is not the type to operate properties for any length of time that are only 85% occupied. I really would love to know more about what the
issues. And you're projecting rent raises in addition to the occupancy increase.
I'm saying that again, Dan? Yeah.
They're projecting significant rent increases, $250, $350 a unit, in addition
That's just it. And again, if they were buying this from a mom and pop that we didn't know, that they weren't members of an investment group, they didn't have the training, et cetera, it'd make sense. But we can only surmise, and I don't know if we'll ever get an answer, but if it's been underwritten with these numbers and they're anywhere in the ballpark, this is a strong transaction. 2 to 3 years, almost 100% return on the high side, right, Dan? And
yeah.
So that's, you know, right there. That's, in fact, that's a bit better than we would normally seek on an equity multiple and, you know, ROI, et cetera. So it is a loan assumption, which I don't know, may dispel my logic that the new guy walking up, you know, is for some reason able to get more debt. I don't know. It could just be a matter of rebalancing portfolios. I've seen that with syndicators before, where maybe you get a few more units in one geographical area that you want just to be, you know, a bit diversified. And then it could just be that there's some need to have some on the ground ownership to take advantage of these opportunities, because the analytics are strong. The population growth, income growth, appreciation, crime statistics, they're all, you know, looking pretty good. So, you know, who knows? But in any event, let's see, what else, Dan, is of note? I've got a few yellow highlights here. You're right. I do see their position as a value deal. They're repositioning it as a value deal, which, again, I wish I could understand why that would be the case, given the current ownership. It's not a bad purchase price. What is it per door, Dan? Do you have that handy?
The purchase price to buy is $128,000 per unit. The all-in price is around almost $160,000 after rehab.
Yeah. So if it brings that property up to those market rents, that would tend to make sense. And 2 years, or two, or year two projections, I'm reading it now in the slide deck, are, let's see, the purchase price is 28. They say all in on one side, $28 million. I think I've seen two different numbers, though. There may have been an update. And they're saying that the year two projection of value will be $42 million. Year three would be $44 million. That's a pretty big jump in just two or 3 years. So, but again, the people that involved on this transaction just – I mean, I know the people that are members of this platform know this. They're top shelf. They've got not only Mr. Sutton, they've got a key principal that's one of the most successful syndicators in lifestyle that's joining the transaction. And so If I were a member, I would be looking really hard at this transaction and try to get into it. These are the kind of transactions that the amount of capital that's being requested will be literally, I think I saw, or one of my clients mentioned that within 24 hours, this deal was 240% oversubscribed already. Now, that's a soft commit. That's not funded yet, but that's not uncommon with transactions that these particular personalities are involved with. And so, you know, this is somebody to put on your radar if you're a member of that platform and you're not already signed up to be notified of their transactions. You need to add the folks involved here, and I'm not at liberty to mention that on or mention names on the air, but in any event. Dan, what was it for people that are concerned about cash flows fairly quickly? Do you recall seeing what the average cash on cash distributions might be on top of the principal?
There's no cash in year one. Year two, they're saying 5 to 5.4, and then year three, 5.5 to 6%.
Right. Okay. And, let me see here. Let's see. I was trying to figure out what the equity multiple was. If I'm not mistaken, it's fairly, what is it, like 2.34, somewhere in there for 3 years? That's pretty,
just looking again here.
Yeah, it's almost the 0.0463 per month that we strive to find. So I think that, again, this transaction looks pretty good. I wish I had more answers as to why the transition in ownership, but it doesn't detract from the fact that you've got some experience at the helm on this transaction, and I like the fact that the existing owner is hanging around. That's a good thing. And if you look at the images in this deal, Dan, I assume you spent some time doing that. This is a good-looking property. I mean, this is not to call it a value play.
It's a pretty property.
Yeah, the value play context, I think, is interior. But even the interiors on the ones that they've worked on or already rehabbed are pretty slick. Well, before we go to a break, is there anything else on this one that you're picking up that you want to mention? And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about the other transaction, or we can continue on this one if you want. Dan, what do you think?
I think you've done a good job covering this one. This is, as I said earlier, intriguing. I think it's one that could be considered, which without, you know, any more detail than I've done on it. It's very intriguing, I think, still.
Well, I think we've just scraped the surface and realized the high points are all positive. I think if you wanted to get down into looking at comps, you know, they've got some comps out here. Not that we really look at comps in valuing these properties, but you look at comps in terms of figuring out what the market is, what the crime rates are, what the job growth in these various areas are within a submarket. So they've got a dozen or so of them listed, all across Chattanooga metro or nearby cities. But in any event, let's see. Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our break, and then when we come back, if you think of something during the break, Dan, go ahead and bring it up, and we'll spend a few more minutes on this one. We'll be right back with the third segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show when we get back. What's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words. Better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of this week's Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPAs. And we've been chatting about a transaction that's in the capital raise mode up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Dan, just before we pivot and go to a Houston transaction, I wanted to make a comment about, well, two things. The value play repositioning here is, it does make sense to me now that I went and looked at the rehab numbers. Did you see what those were, by the way? I've got them handy. I'm sorry, say again.
2.7 million is rehab.
Yeah, that's right. And of that, almost 2.1 is interior rehabs. That's $10,000 a door. That's pretty significant. I mean, that's new appliances and new flooring, et cetera. And then 45% of those units are going to get new HVAC units. So in any event, I see why, you know, it's being positioned as that. And then I also notice that the debt structure, let's see here, let me go down to that page. It's an assumed loan or a loan assumption, 10-year flat, 4% fixed, Freddie Mac, with a supplemental loan available for 4 years. And this loan started August of 2019, so you've still got significant time left. That's a good loan to assume. And then the rehab funds are outside the loan, which makes it easier, faster, far more flexible to get it done as quickly as possible without waiting on.
The rehab is part of the fundraise, of course, so it's outside the loan. Yeah,
right. So it starts to make a little bit more sense. So the property in the period it's been owned, it was acquired back in 2019, August of 2019, apparently, since that's when the loan started. And in that time frame, I'm sure if I went back and pulled that earlier syndication doc stack, that I would see that they probably have made significant progress with the funding that they had. I mean, that's usually what happens. And I'm not sure. I know I looked at this transaction a long time ago before, yeah, with the last ownership. But anyway, one other thing I want to say here, this is a transaction that would qualify for self-directed IRAs or self-directed 401s, again, the IRA is not as desirable because it's going to pay a significant amount of tax. If you look at what's anticipated as the returns, the difference between investing with your self-directed IRA or a self-directed 401 trust is that on that, you know, 100, what, Dan, the ROI in 3 years is just over 100% or right at 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to pay another $35,000 to $40,000 or $30,000 to $35,000. The IRA will pay $30,000 to $35,000 in tax at the end of this transaction when it exits if it hits the target. The 401 will pay zero additional tax. The 401 only pays tax when money's taken out. So this would be a good transaction if you did invest your IRA to get it rolled over, relist the investment to your new self-directed 401 trust, and you would sidestep that UDFI tax, which is part of the UBIT. It's unrelated business income tax, and then the leverage tax component that catches these transactions for IRAs is unrelated debt financed income. So in any event, you know, nice transaction, and I'm sure it's going to get the capital it's seeking just because, again, the quality team that's in place, you know, from all angles. So let's pivot now and go talk about a syndicator that's out of New York. His name is Robert Beardsley, Lone Star Capital. And if you haven't signed up on his portal, you might want to do that. Again, he does 506B and 506C transactions. This one is a 506B, just like the last one we were discussing. And, you know, even though the Lone Star Capital is based in Manhattan, they focus on Houston, well, Texas, but primarily Houston transactions. They've probably done at least four or five in the last year in the Houston market. They know the Houston market very, very well. They track every transaction that ever happens in the Houston market. Very impressive young professional that heads that company up, Robert Beardsley. And so they've got a transaction that's in the Briar Court area. It's, let's see, I think it's 200 or maybe 197, the number of units. Dan, you didn't look at this one, so you can't bail me out on that question, can you? They also, well, somewhere right at 200, they also manage a 342-unit property nearby at the Broadstone Briar Forest. So they've got very local knowledge, hands-on attention, et cetera. Rent comps have seen a 12% rent growth in the past year for that area. Future growth is projected at 165 over the hold period, which I marked here somewhere. I believe it's a 5 to 6 year potential hold. And let's see. The total capital being loaned or borrowed or raised is $32 million, 5.5% roughly cash-on-cash returns, a 1.4 equity multiple, which is a little bit light for what we're seeking. The fees, and the reason this one caught my eye to mention on the air, is that having seen the fees in the past on this gentleman's transactions, it's this time around, it's not quite as bad. Got a 2% acquisition fee. And from what I can gather, no other extemporaneous fees. You do have the obligatory asset management and property management fees. But, again, it's not out of the range of normalcy. And I like the way that this guy does his underwriting. I mean, he's really well-educated on multifamily, knows what he's doing, and it's always interesting to look at way he depicts and illustrates and, you know, produces videos, I think he's got well over 300,000. I'm sorry, not 300,000, 300 videos out on YouTube. You would do well as an investor to at least listen. I'm not going to tell you he's right on everything, but I tell you what, he's experienced even at a young age, and he's in the ballpark here, you know, on this one for sure. And it's a 70-30 split on cash flows, profits, et cetera, 70% to the LP. This is a limited partnership structure, by the way. It's not an LLC. I'm not going to get into the differences for the investor, the passive. They're generally not that material. But it's got, again, the one, let's see, I was looking for the period, the length of time. I was thinking it was 5 to 6 years. Oh, well, let me just keep moving on with some of this. It'll pop up here for me in a minute. This property was built in 1972. It's 201 units. I just finally found my number there. $28 million purchase price. That's about $140,000 all in. $12,000 per unit CapEx or rehab budget. So it's similar to the prior transaction. In fact, it sounds like it's very close. The total capitalization works out to $163,000 a door. So once it's completed, again, for a 1972 build with all they're doing, I think they'll be bringing that property up to a pretty, you know, nice level for what it would have to be called a Class C currently. But just to talk about some of the debt issues, it is another bridge loan, you know, which we're not keen on. 65% loan to cost is the amount that's being borrowed. 5.25 fixed interest rate. That's amazing how fast interest rates have moved up. And of course, that's being pitched as, you know, this fixed rate lock gives us a predictable cost structure. Yeah, that would be an understatement, I would say, Dan. It is a true statement, right? But that's also on a high level of interest. But that's not out of line with some other fixed rate bridge loans I've seen lately. So I guess you can either pay the known or you can worry about the unknown, right? As fast as these rates are happening. But it's a 3-year initial interest only, which again is common, with 2 extension options, giving flexibility to refinance or sell as optimal, which that's, I guess that's one way to pitch it. I don't look at it as flexible. I look at it as being hogtied if you're the borrower. The initial value add, very much like the last transaction, they're positioning this as a value add that's going to take 24 months to make it beautiful, including making that NOI beautiful, getting the NOI up, and before they'll decide whether it makes sense to sell it or refinance it. Just to give you a little bit more background on the property itself, the current ownership apparently has handled a lot of the deferred maintenance, primarily exterior. They did some remediation on older electrical systems and performed some low-level upgrades. The product mix, 64% to 36% to 2 to 3 bedrooms versus 1 bedroom, so they've got more of the larger units, is well-suited for that area, you know, which is typically more established renters and families. The plan is to renovate all units to the luxury finish that has granite countertops, backsplash, stainless appliances, just very similar to the last transaction we were discussing in Chattanooga. All units will receive washer and dryer, smart door. This is how they build the NOI. This is how you get the NOI up. You put amenities in that aren't there now, and then that allows a rent premium. Their rent premiums will average $151 a month, which is pretty rational, I would say, wouldn't you, Dan? That's not reaching for the stars. And that's going to move rents from an average of $1,100 $61 to $1,312 over that 24-month period. That's a plan that, in my mind, is clearly within the bounds of being able to be executed in that area. I'm not sure where, and Dan, maybe you could look this up while we're chatting. Let's see the address. What block of Briar Forest? Well, I'll have to find it. I know I've got it here in front of me somewhere, but in any event, let's move on. So I mentioned the premium unit upgrades. The value creation they project or pro forma will be an extra 9.7 or 8 million, 9.795 over the 3 years to 5 years. So 3 to 5 years is the hold. I was struggling to put my hands on that earlier. Let's see here. The cash on cash returns.
Do you have the address for that, Nate?
Well, I'm looking for it. I know it's, here, maybe, let me see here. I'm flipping through the pages here. Location, it's in the Bunker Hill Village submarket. So it's right there close to you, Dan. That's tall cotton there, if I recall correctly. But I think, is that maybe the 7,000 block that sticks in my memory? I was thinking it was like 7210 or something like that. I'll keep digging here. But in any event, this is one of those properties that, you know, in my mind, everything around it puts all the indicators very positive. I mean, you've got businesses in the West Chase District, the Energy Corridor, that are not next door, but they're certainly in play when it comes to, have prospective tenants. And, of course, a lot of the family-type tenants with those 2 and 3 bedrooms. But in any event, it's not far from Cisco's headquarters, BMC's headquarters. This is very close to Beltway 8, Dan. I guess it's further out than they made it to seem.
It's not called Briar Court Townhomes, is it?
Well, it's Briar Court Apartments and Townhomes. So maybe that is the property. So
yeah,
you know
is.
Where that's at?
That's probably it.
Yeah. Well, in any event, again, the metrics on this deal look pretty good over a 3-year period, but not so good over 5. And that's the issue I've seen with most of these syndicators' numbers is they give you an equity multiple of X, but they're always looking at the earliest of the bookends, either 3 to 5 years. So in any event, hey, let's take our last break. I just realized we blew through it again, and we're only going to have 2 or 3 minutes when we get back. But let's go ahead and do that, and we'll be right back with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want. Big dreams and fake dreams, and there are many.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment, the final few minutes, in fact, of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And Dan, I just noticed on the map here, and I think you also pointed out, this is west of Beltway 8. I was thinking it was on the other side, so it's close to Walnut Bend and very close to Westside Tennis Club. Apparently, like a couple blocks, if that puts it in bounds. Okay, let me expand on, I've got a listener that texted me a minute ago wanting me to expand on why the difference between the 3-year and the 5-year, and it's quite simple. If you take your total returns and divide it by the number of months, you're going to get the monthly equity multiple, and all I'm telling you is the longer these transactions go, in most cases, the equity multiple is going to decline because you're basically phasing in the value play instead of clipping it when it's the highest. Now, there could be reasons that perhaps a 10-year deal gets a higher equity multiple, but not likely. And in fact, if you will recall, I think we talked about a transaction a while ago that had a 4.0 equity multiple. It was appeared to be off the charts. You know, first time in the history of the syndicator that he had been able to achieve 4.0. And yet, as I pointed out, well, that's only about 78 to 80% of what we seek. And what we seek is a doubling of your money. That would be a 2.0 equity multiple every 3.6 years. That's a 20% compounded ROI. And to make the math easy, I've broken it down. 3.6 years is 43.2 months. You can divide that into the 2.0 equity multiple, and that gets you to a 0.0463 per month. So you don't need to stress over it. Just look at how many months you think the deal might go and multiply it by 0.0463 to see if we get back to our number. In any event, we're at the end again. Hard to believe. Dan, thanks for joining, and we look forward to next Saturday, 5 p.m., the Be a Planner Tax Mass Show. And as usual, always good to be on the air and hopefully shed some light on some of these transactions, and we'll continue to do that a week from today. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.